All right. Thank you, Sister Danielle. Appreciate the good message and song. I want you to open your Bible tonight to the first and last chapter of the book of Jude. Yeah, I believe you can do that all at one time. Appreciate your prayers tonight. Generally, when I preach, I have probably a little bit better organized message than I do tonight. And I feel like I need to share some information with you, and that's mainly what I'm going to do tonight. I'll read a few verses in Jude. I have, of course, and most preachers have, preached through the little book of Jude many times. It is powerful. It is pertinent for our day that we live in. It is prophecy, really, of what has happened will be continually happened, and especially in the last days. I don't tend to go that way so much, but you have a lot of historical examples between verses 5 through 7. You have false teachers in verses 8 through 19. You have the coming judgment in the 14th, 15th verses. And finally, the tribulation culture is seen in the last of it. And of course, the good news is that God is the victor in it. Amen. But I want you to go back to the first of it with me. And it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, not pickled, but preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Boy, I'm glad we're preserved. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, it says, which was once delivered unto the saints. I'll read verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God unto lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, I told you this morning I'd share some stuff with you. Let me make just a comment or two on the verse or two that I read. Notice that Jude's talking about the common salvation. You know, salvation, when you read the Bible and rightly divide it and understand, it's not that complicated. It's hard to accept the fact of grace and the unmerited favor of God that we have in Jesus Christ. The biggest news to me when I first heard the gospel of grace was, how could it be? Because I didn't deserve it. None of us deserve it. And the crowd that thinks they have earned it are really, really way off. It is grace that we're saved by, of course. And when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we get so much in Him that because of His merits, not our own. Now, I believe this, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, things are going to get, in a sense, harder. The warfare is going to increase. I think it is increasing tremendously today. I believe, as Jude talked, and like as I say, you get over the tribulation culture in the last verses of this chapter, I believe we got the shadows of the tribulation period on us today. And how long will it take for it to fully develop, for the Antichrist to come on the scene and all that? I'm looking for the rapture first, but it could be tomorrow, it could be tonight, it could be a few years. I don't know. But I do see things moving so quickly, fulfilling the scripture so fast. And I want to say this, deception, you've heard me say it over and over again, deception is the biggest sign of the end that you can point to. And it is a time of deception today. I keep warning and talking about it, but folks, watch what you watch on TV in the name of religion. Religion's big business today. It really is. And a lot of folks can learn how to talk churchy, even talk Bible language, and still be a deceiver. That's right. And be off. You got to watch out for that. I tell you one good rule of thumb. When you're hearing some of these guys on TV, if they're not connected with a local church, you better watch it. A local church has some accountability to it. When a fellow is pastor of a local church, the people in that church know something about his lifestyle. They know how he lives. And you better watch out for the charlatans and the crooks and the fakes and the false teachers that come along. And the other thing is, don't trust, even in this church and other good churches, where there's good preachers. Their life, they live for Christ, still know the book. Amen. The book is the yardstick. Amen. It's the judge. And so you ought to know some of it for yourself. Now, I know we're against religious tradition, but I also want to say this. All tradition isn't bad. Some of it is anchored in the truth from way back. And I believe with all my heart, a true New Testament church that's been practicing something down through history, you better take note of that. Watch out for the new stuff on the block today. Watch out for the deception that comes with it. And it's really easy to see that. Tonight I want to address a little bit some of the subtlety, some of the trickery that's beginning to move in. And it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. And I've said this to you before, and I'll be honest, I'm a little bit surprised that some of it's coming in as fast as it is coming in. I've got a letter right here written to me this week. I'm going to read some of it. Then I got a magazine that was sent with it, and I'm going to talk about it just a little bit. I'm going to talk about the new challenge that's being faced in America. And I'm not just talking about up north or out California or somewhere where a lot of bad stuff starts. I'm talking about moving in where we live. Moving in where we're at. Moving in even to our church. Here's a letter. It's addressed to me and Landmark Baptist Church. By the way, in this day and age, they know where you're at. They get you online. Somebody's watching me right now, including the man that may have written me this letter. That's the day and age we live in. It's different. It's different. So it says, the subject is peace-loving imams, imams. It's talking about Muslim clerics. Peace-loving. We saw another example of that. Just third one just had their head chopped off here. Pastors and rabbis. So he says, I'm wanting peace-loving Muslim clerics, imams, pastors, rabbis wanted. So then he writes to me. Dear Pastor Mickey Carter, I write you today to request your support in launching a new world peace initiative titled Handshake for Peace. The letter four. Handshake number four, peace. Now, I could give you the call letters, and some of you would go home and look it up. And you might get brainwashed by it. You say, not me. That's what some others have said. Satan is pretty slick, folks. Amen. Says, you've received this message because your church meets our initial project launching criteria. Amidst the horrific and disturbing news of violence abroad, this letter comes as part of a humble effort by individuals who live close to your church in Central Florida to launch a new peace initiative between mainstream Christians, Muslims, and Jews worldwide. This effort has potential for a global impact if it is supported by local leaders like yourself. The families that attend your place of worship and anyone who is committed to peace under a unified banner of ending the suffering of the innocent, the enclosed first issue of Handshake for Peace, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm purposely withholding that. The newsletter details the initiative in concept. Please promote this initiative in your congregation. I'm promoting it tonight. I'm exposing it tonight. If any family is interested in joining the initiative, founding fathers, founding families, please advise them to give a virtual handshake. Now, some of you know what that is. I really don't. I just know old-fashioned handshake. But this is a virtual handshake. And to check the I would like to help checkbox. You understand that too, don't you? I will be very happy to visit your church and to talk to your congregation about the initiative or answer any questions. Please note that the enclosed publication will also be distributed next week in upscale Orlando neighborhoods and to the media to solicit community support. The first 50 religious leaders to give a virtual handshake and register to attend the Teaming Up for World Peace workshop will have a permanent legacy in the initiative and will be designated as founding leaders. When you give a virtual handshake, please identify yourself by clicking the I am a religious leader checkbox. After verifying your identity, your name will be added to the public figures scrolling list. Please take the lead and make a world of difference. Thank you for supporting this initiative. May God's peace, shalom, and salam be with you. And some of you know shalom is Jewish and salam is Arabic. Be with you. And the man signs his name. It's Arabic. Now I'll say this before I say some more stuff. He could be a good guy. He's not saved. He's not born again. That's obvious. But he could be good because liberals believe in being good and they think they are good. And the big drive today that's been sold to them by the devils is to put the whole world thing together. And that's good. Unity at any price, peace at any price type of attitude. So the guy might be, even in his motives, he might be honest. Now, to me, he's suspect, of course, but he might be. I also want to say this. I rip on this thing of the false doctrine, the false religion of Islam. It does not mean I hate the individuals. I'd love to see every one of them get saved. But that's the only answer. And if Washington, D.C. had any sense, they'd know that's the only answer. And the best thing we could do worldwide is explain the genuine, true gospel to them. But we're having trouble now even letting our military carry New Testament in their pocket. We're making the military now celebrate the Muslim holidays. When Ramadan comes and they fast from daylight to dark, they can't drink coffee. And our military has been asked not to drink coffee at that time too, to accommodate. That is not the answer. You do not accommodate error and falsehood. You stand against it and you tell the truth, and the truth is the answer to it. But that's where we're at right now. Now I'm going to deal with this a little bit here and deal with this at magazine. And I want to tell you something. It's professional. It's slick. I've read all of it. And it's a trap. And it's baited well. And while I got a lot of respect for many of you out there as being Bible students and loving the Lord and genuinely being saved, I wouldn't send it to your house because some of you might get tricked by it. I am surprised sometimes how people that can sit in this church as long as they have still go off on something wrong because some slick fella somewhere presented it. It's too bad, but it happens. Now, the whole plan, of course, is the devil is behind it, is to put the one world church together. We've known that. We've known that's predicted for a long time. But now we're seeing the biggest, as far as numbers go, biggest three or four religions in the world. And, of course, Islam is one of them with, what is it, a 1.6 billion they claim. And here you got an effort to unite Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. And of course, they're throwing in Judaism, not because you understand they hate the Jews. You do understand that, don't you? But it baits the trap better when you throw them in also. But with that said, we find, and you've heard me say this, we find the Pope buying into it. He, down in Nicaragua and other places outside their church buildings, I told you this, Brother Hosea was down there recently, out there where they got the idols, where they've got the statues, where they got pictures of Mary, they also got the crescent moon. They're trying to make Chrislam one. And I've told you that before, but this is evidence of what I'm talking about right here. I'll move into it in just a minute. But the effort is to put the one world church together. Now, to do that, anytime you're putting something together that's different, one or the other or both has to compromise. And to put Islam and Christianity together, there has to be some compromise. And of course, that compromise has to do with Jesus Christ. Has to do with who he is, what he did for us. You've got to deny him to put him in. And he says in this magazine, he says, the Quran speaks five times more about Jesus than it does Muhammad. Yes, but what does it say? Let me go a little further. It's blasphemy to compare Jesus Christ to any religious leader. There is no comparison. No comparison. And to say that, well, Jesus and Buddha had something in common. No, Buddha's not in the same ballpark with Jesus. Neither is Muhammad. Jesus was God incarnate in the flesh. And when you get down to this business, see, compromise, put it all together. It's a worldwide cry going on right now. It means compromise doctrine. And doctrine, you read 1 Timothy, read how many times you have the word doctrine appear. Paul talking to Timothy. Doctrine, what we believe, what is true, what is scripture. That's important. You just don't wipe that out. You just don't ignore that. And yet that's what we're being asked to do. Let me say this. Some of the doctrine that's being compromised today, even by Baptist people, is a shame when you understand our Baptist forefathers died because of that doctrine. They paid a price. I mean, a big price. And yet we treat it so flippant about it today. And we got these today that claim they've got a new revelation. And that revelation changes age-old biblical doctrine that your forefathers believed, lived, and died for. And all of a sudden, now we can change it. Listen to me. If that's so, and an all-knowing God in heaven knew it all the time, why didn't he let somebody change the doctrine before our forefathers bled and died for it? No, that's not the case. The case is that what's happening today is compromise. And sellout. Sellout's what it is to those that paid a price in the past. To go along with what this fellow has here in the magazine, we deny who Jesus Christ is. He is God incarnate in the flesh. He is not a servant that's going to run along and tag along with Muhammad to serve him when he comes back. Yet, that is the teaching. And that is so wrong. It would compromise the one way of salvation, and that's what it's all about. You know what Jesus said? He said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? He was intimating and there's going to be a struggle for it. He also said, they say I come to bring peace, but he said I came to bring a sword. And what we have today is a sword against Christ, because Christ is the one way to heaven and there is no other way. No other way that anybody can get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Cannot get there through Muhammad. Cannot get there through Buddha. Cannot get there through hundreds of other false religions. And that's where the issue is today. That's where the liberals in America have sold us out. And still doing it everywhere that you look. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way. Let me give you something. Three verses, church member, born again Christian, three verses you ought to commit to memory. A little more than three, but three passages that you ought to commit to memory. One is John 14, 1-6, and it's easy. It tells you Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. You ought to be able to quote that. You ought to be able to quote that to every Jehovah's Witness that knocks on your door. You ought to be able to quote Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. For there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. One name. One name. You ought to be able to quote that. You ought to be able to quote 1 Timothy 2:5, I guess it is. Yeah, 1 Timothy 2:5. There's one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. If you get a hold of those and get them in your heart, the truth of the matter is you'll be pretty well armed to deal with all the false teachers that come by, because all false teaching directly or indirectly attacks who Christ is, his deity. The fact that he's the only way to heaven is hated by religion. It really hated by religion. He's the only way of salvation. And it's the way of salvation that we're to preach. Now, when you compare Islam and Christianity, we preach salvation through one that loved us. So we preach the love of God. You read through the Quran and you won't find that. But you will find it telling you to chop off the heads of the infidels. And that religion spread by the sword, and it's still spreading by the sword. That's what it's all about. When you see them chopping off heads on TV, that's what it's all about. To be a Quran believing Muslim, you've got to be willing to die as a martyr killing the infidels. How can we put those two together? There has to be a mighty big compromise there. Now, he'll tell you in this magazine, we all believe in the same thing. He'll tell you in this magazine that Islam goes back to Abraham, and so does Christianity, and so does Judaism. But that's a pretty big trick. If you'll read Islam, you'll find out they don't believe in Isaac, they believe in Ishmael. And there's a whole big difference between the foundation there. Quite a big, big difference in it. Now, comes up to then, which book is right? Well, their book is incoherent to a great degree, and so that's why they can say this and that about it. But the truth is, it's no comparison to it in the Bible. Now, it has some statements out of the Bible, but they're disjointed. They are out of context. Somebody heard rumors and wrote them down, but they didn't have it right. They heard some stuff from the Jews, and they heard some stuff from Christianity, but they got it all scrambled. They got Hagar and Mary, the mother of Jesus, mixed up. And yet they'll claim that they believe in her and so forth and all that business. Now, we've got to be wise about this, and we've got to be on guard. I read here in Jude, and I'm jerking it a little bit out of context, but these that Jude spoke about as false teachers. And you get down to verse 12, verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Do you know what the way of Cain was? Well, he killed Abel, didn't he? Did you ever think about it? What motivated Cain to kill Abel? It was religious jealousy. His brother's sacrifice was accepted and his was not. Do you ever think about that? Do you understand what's killing people today? You understand what's motivating a bloodthirsty religion? It is religion, and it is envy against Christianity and Judaism. I agree that the rank and file women on their little pup tents not daring to show their face. I do believe they're innocent and they're victims of that system, but they can't get out of it. And maybe a lot of the men are. But that does not mean that we can help them by joining them. We got to help them by giving them the truth to replace that error that's put them in captivity like that. This is an amazing thing right here to see. If I flip through it, by the way, apparently my secretary must have flipped through it because she wrote a note right on the outside before she put it in my mailbox. She said this, just as you mentioned the other day. So I had preached and she was listening. Hope some of you, rest of you were. Where I talked about putting the One World Church thing together, and I talked about it was coming to us. And here it is. Do you understand that this letter was sent to 50 churches, and we were one of them? Do you understand that this plan is to let's all shake hands and have peace? Well, the peace is what the snake promised the rabbit just before he swallowed him. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, he makes comparisons in here between Islam and Christianity and Judaism. And for somebody that might not know, some of it would sound pretty slick. But it all comes back to how much you're willing to compromise the Word of God and Jesus Christ to fit in. Time would not allow me, but some of it's pretty subtle. Right here on one page, he compares the Islamic world with the USA. And in the Islamic world, he names how Christian victims have been killed, and rightfully so. He names a whole bunch of them, including the 3,000 close at the towers. But then he comes back on the other side and shows how many thousand that was killed by the U.S. in the bombings over in the Middle East, and we look much worse. What he don't want to recognize is who struck the first blow. We had a right under President Bush to retaliate. The big mistake we made was not blooding their nose and then getting out, instead of trying to stay over there to repair them. The fellow that just got his head chopped off last night, what was he doing over there? He was trying to help their plight. He was trying to help them. They capture him, they cut off his head. That's the kind of treatment you get. And we made a mistake by staying, and then we made a mistake after all those boys lost their lives and limbs, and we whipped them, then we turned it back over to them. So now we got to do it again. If we do it again. It is an amazing thing. Now, I make several comparisons in here. And for those that are not wise about what's going on, this is a subtle, well-planned, deceptive track. And this magazine was sent to us, and it'll be sent to at least 50 other churches. And it plays with the name of God. What is the name of God? Is it the Father, Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim, Allah, or the Lord? Why, he tells you it's one and the same. He does not tell you that Allah was the moon god of one of the tribes, out of the many gods that was worshipped when Muhammad come in and picked the moon god over the rest of them. He makes several statements that sound pretty good, but they're a trap. He says Mary is the title of a chapter in the Quran detailing the story of Mary, including the moments surrounding Jesus' birth. And he gets some of that right. But then he gets, if you go to the Quran and check it out, I told you a while ago, that's where he mixes up Hagar, and Mary gives birth to Jesus under a palm tree. That's what the Quran teaches. And God miraculously let the ripe dates fall to feed them. That's not your Bible. One or the other's wrong, and you know which one's wrong. Now, Muslims believe in the return of Jesus. Yes, they do, but as an assistant. And he says here, he gives a little truth right here, that when he comes back, he's going to clear up misconceptions about him, and particularly about the Trinity, and he's going to let us know that he was human. See, not God. What a difference. What a difference. Again, I say to you, this thing is really slick. And some folks that want peace at any price will gobble this up. And I'll make a prediction, folks. There'll be plenty of churches that'll join him. Plenty of pastors will say, oh, finally somebody's got a plan. Finally we can have peace. Finally we can put the one world lovey-dovey church together. And that's exactly what will happen. One of the back pages, he's got a picture. I can figure out the picture. It says, teaming up for world peace in the name of God. Oh, by the way, he gives a scripture reference every now and then, just a little bit. He's pointing out a Catholic priest here with a hanging cross around his neck. He's picking out, he's showing a Jewish rabbi with his cap on. He's showing a Muslim cleric. And he's showing what he thinks is a reverend, like me. But it's a bad picture. Even too bad for me, amen? But he's showing these four all shaking hands. Shake hands for peace. That's the name of the plan. Now again, this guy's motive could be somewhat right, but his book is very, very deceptive. And he is probably going to have a bunch of guys that this preacher, so-called, that this will go to, that's never read the Quran, never studied Islam. But I have. I know exactly what is going on here. So it won't fool me a bit. But it does amaze me. This is going online. This is already online. This is going around on the electronic gossip tube. This is going around to where everybody is going to be able to tune into it. And it's going to sound pretty good to some. And that's a sad, sad situation. The question is, as this thing moves in, and this is just one example. By the way, this will have the blessings of Washington, D.C. on it. From the president on down, this will have the blessings on it. I told you this morning the difference. I hope some of you got it. The difference in the two words you're hearing on the news. The difference in ISIS and Islam, however you say it. I didn't say it right that time. The difference is speaking to how much territory we recognize they have a right to. And the first one that I heard say the word, and now I'm hearing some of his staff say it, the first one that I heard say the word was the president. And even the news people haven't yet totally surrendered that word. ISIL is what he's saying. ISIS is what news media is saying. ISIS refers to part of Syria and most of Iraq. ISIL pertains to Iraq, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, Palestine, Libya, part of Turkey, and all of Israel. ISIL, that's what it pertains to. See, it's a geographical code. It's the Levant area that is spoken big. So it is a term of respect, and it is code saying to the crowd that's chopping the heads off, we agree you got a right to all this. No wonder King Abdullah of Jordan is so scared right now, because it includes his place also, you see. So some of why we are reluctant, some of the reason we're having to drag the president, well, I started to say by the hair of the head, but that wouldn't fit, into this thing, is because he don't want to go. His heart's not in going and defeating them. It's obvious. And when he started calling them ISIL instead of ISIS, he's telling you something. You better watch out for it. And sad truth is, most of America don't understand that. I get accused of saying what I just said to you, and that's okay. I'm near enough to the end of my ministry now that, brother, I'll unload the whole wagon. If somebody don't like it, they just don't like it. It has to do with their caliphate. It has to do with respect to them, and it's a code saying, if you take all this, hey, he hadn't said we're at war with them. The truth is, what he is really saying is we want to contain them. We want to manage them. Who are you kidding? What a joke. But that's what's going on right now. Now, I know I could go on with this, but I'm going to quit. I want to say, look out for the deception, for the slickness. Look out for what you're getting online. It's bad enough to weed through the biased news and the propaganda from the politicians, but please don't be deceived that we're all serving the same God. We're all going to the same place. Let's just sing Kumbhalah and dance together. That's what they want you to fall for. Question is, who's going to be standing true at the end? I predict you'll get a lot of folks to sign up here. And do you ever notice how it's always those in error that wants to join with those in truth? Those that really know the truth, we are to abstain from error. Amen. Separate from error. Right. We don't need error. We don't want to mix it together. Yeah. But those in error always want to mix it together. That's why when false doctrine is taught, there's always some truth in it. Yeah. Sweeten the pot with truth to deceive you is what it amounts to. Really what it amounts to. You know, the truth is that if you don't know your book, your Bible, if you don't go to a Bible-believing church, you can be a target for this stuff, whether you know it or not. Here I read the scripture that says, contend for the faith. Do you know the faith? Do you know it? Do you know it well enough to contend for it? Or will you be following every wind of doctrine that comes over the tube or comes by and knocks on your door? Please, folks, be aware. We have moved into the Laodicean church age, the cold, lukewarm church, and it'll be those that will buy into this. And we will look like the sticks in the mud. We'll look like the rebels. We'll look like the ones that's out of line. But hey, we're not. We're lined up with a book and with the only Savior that paid the price for our sins. Don't dare think about compromising him with something like this. This has got money behind it. Big money. All money. From over there where we spent all our tax money and have been stabbed in the back for it. I predict this won't be the last you hear of this. I predict you'll hear it on TV. And I predict you may have some friends that go to a liberal church that'll tell you it's the greatest thing since grits. That's right. That's right. They'll try their best to convince you you ought to be a part of this. Truth of the matter is, it's the devil's trick. It's a trap. He's got it baited well. He's got it greased where you'll just slide right on the hill with him. That's what he wants. I spent the time tonight to give a little warning. If there's anything as a pastor of a church I don't want my folks to be ignorant concerning the deception of the devil in these last days. And I challenge you to take a stand. Now there's one thing that everybody can do. We can stand if this crosses our path. If we have a chance to speak against it, speak against it. But the other thing we can do is we can pray, because it is spiritual warfare. It is a big spiritual warfare. And we had better be in prayer. I want those babies in the nursery over there grow up and Jesus hadn't come. I want them to have a church that'll be keeping them separate from this stuff and informing them what truth is, so they can grow up and be saved and go to heaven with us. I want to protect what God has given us as best I can.